And that song was Moth Song by a young Apollo Bay musician, or I'm not sure whether to call you Apollo Bay musician or Melbourne musician, Lindsay Depler. Welcome to the studio, Lindsay.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Stephen Hart's still here with us, and he's going to have a chat to Lindsay with myself.
I'm out of my depth now, Anton.
Oh, no, not at all, not at all. You're never out of your depth, I've noticed, Stephen. VCA graduate in vocal.
Yes, yes.
Currently combining music with a law degree.
Yes.
Wow, that's it. So you really, you must be busy.
Yes, definitely balancing a few things at the moment between work and uni and music. And I think music is definitely the thing that keeps me grounded, though.
Yep.
Yeah.
So do you see your future as, is the music still a big component of your life?
Oh, absolutely.
Or will the law sort of take on?
I knew when I started studying law that really music was never going to leave my life.
Uh-huh.
Law was never a replacement.
Yeah.
I think I was talking with Brian yesterday, just saying when I left VCA, I did the usual, you know, finish your degree, existential crisis, what am I going to do with my life? And I was joking around
that. I'm glad you got through that.
And I was joking around that I really did apply to anything and everything just to get some extra direction.
Yep.
And I applied from everything through to the hairdressing apprenticeship to medicine, and I got into the hairdressing apprenticeship and law.
Yep. And oh, did you? Yeah. So it was law or hairdressing?
Yeah, yeah, that
you'll
was
regret
the trick.
This one day.
I will.
So somebody comes up and says, can you cut my hair, Lindsay? And you'll say, no, but I can represent you in court. They'll say,
yeah.
No good to me, I need a haircut. You go, damn it, chose the wrong career.
Exactly. And I decided to go to the orientation at Monash, and
yep.
I expected to be gone before the census date,
yep.
But I really enjoyed it and I'm still there.
Ah,
so.
Excellent. So you found that the law's exciting you more than you thought?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I thought it would be, I don't know what I thought it would be, to be honest. I really had no idea what I was in for, but
yeah, right.
I really enjoyed that analytical
great.
Side.
Excellent. Stephen, do you have any questions?
Oh.
No, I do. So
how do you go from law to and hairdressing? What a combination.
Yeah, that is. I love that. I love the fact that you applied for all of that. Like, you applied. You didn't just think about it. You actually applied. I love that. So it sort of shows that you really thought about a real variety of things. That crisis must have been a beauty. I've been through an existential crisis, but it was tiny compared to most people. It was tiny. I realised how much of a rut I was in when I realised my existential crisis was just sort of so narrow. So well done for having a good one. Look, just a quick conversation about that song we just heard, Moth Song.
Mm-hmm.
I love that this album, Lazy Heart, is a beautiful song. We're going to play that in a minute. It's a really beautiful song. Did you write it?
Yes.
It's a really
yes.
nice song. Well done.
Thank you.
Was that in your existential crisis moment by any chance?
No, it wasn't.
Was it?
No.
Well done.
Lazy Heart is, to me, I feel like that's one of the saddest songs I've ever written. I rarely write happy tunes.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know why, yeah. But for me, that one was the saddest. And that was, I suppose, about when you kind of know what you want, but you're either too afraid or too lazy or...
Yeah.
To go for it.
Is that, I really, that really spoke to me, that song, when I heard it. I thought, oh, wow. I wonder if everybody's been through this where there's an expectation from society, and I think it's unrealistic a lot of the time because we're all our own individual people, but that song to me seems to be somebody saying, look, there seems to be this expectation that I've got to do lots of stuff and I don't know whether I want to.
Mm.
You know, I feel I should, but I don't know if I want to.
Mm.
Is that, have I picked up that song correctly?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's definitely traces of that throughout, you know, the pressure to kind of constantly be moving forward and
yeah.
and maybe
yeah.
you're not built for that,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
Definitely. And also on the other side of that, where you are the kind of person who does want to be moving forward, but there's this anxiety that's stopping you.
Yeah.
And overcoming that becomes more of the challenge than actually moving forward.
Yes. That we've become such high achievers that even when we're not, when we're achieving, we don't think it is a lot of the time, I think.
Absolutely.
That we've got these expectations on ourselves that are bigger than anybody should have. The other thing that I love about this CD is the musicianship. Mm. It is just wonderful.
The guys are spectacular. Oh, they really are amazing.
And the horns in there and everything. It's just glorious.
They're all amazing musicians, and I'd really recommend jumping on our Facebook, where you can see the list of everyone who's involved. Harry, Curtis, yep. Claire, Tommy on drums. And they all have their own projects as well.
Yeah, okay.
Where they can really, really shine, and I'm so lucky to be working with them.
You know, the only thing that bothers me about this, I listen to a CD like that, and I realise that I don't know if I've got the lifespan left in me to listen to all of those musicians' stuff with the respect that it deserves, because there's so many of them. You know, there are what, five other musicians on that?
Yeah, there's six of us in that one.
Yep.
We've got Fabian Acuna on trumpet, and he's fronting his own project at the moment called Quantum Milkshake.
I'll be writing that one down.
That's pretty special. Tommy on drums is off touring at the moment, being a rock star, but he'll be back on the 20th of November.
Damn drums. Trust them to just go swan off and become rock stars.
And Harry on keys and Claire on bass have recently gotten involved with an up-and-coming group called The Outdoor Type.
Okay, because I do like the piano player on that. So that's really high quality musicianship. And you guys all came through the same course, or did you just meet those guys?
We all came through VCA.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's how I met most of the people in that course, except for, I suppose, Claire. I didn't really meet Claire until the first day we had a Saltwood rehearsal.
Right.
And she heard a few of the tracks, and I think Fabian had kind of rung her in a little bit. She's amazing. She's so great to work with.
When you started that course, Lindsay, and I'm assuming you weren't always as talented as we're hearing on that or as polished as we're hearing on that song we just heard, was it? It must have been quite threatening. It must have been horrendous to be surrounded by so many talented people and being one of them and just trying to move forward at a level that feels like you're complimenting them.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, especially as a singer trying to communicate with these musicians who are on such a high caliber of musicianship can be really intimidating. And especially I remember that first rehearsal just having a bit of a panic attack realizing who I was working with. And, you know, it's, I suppose once you get used to working with each other and you have a good knowledge of what you don't know what is worth workshopping. The way we tend to work is I'll come in with a skeleton of a piece, melody, chords, something like that, and then we workshop it and flesh it out and turn it into something. And I always joke that with musicians like that, I could probably just draw a picture of an elephant, chuck it on the music stand, and they'd turn it into something amazing. So,
I think you're right there. can we play another track and then come back and chat a little bit more?
Yeah, sure.
We've got another track. Lazy Heart, I'd like to do that, if that's all right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Such a nice song. Well, they're all nice, but it's very nice. I'm chatting to Lindsay Depler and Stephen Hart, still here. Even though, Stephen, I want you to – I've got homework for you. Write down a question.
When okay.
Back, the next question is yours.
Okay, thanks, Anton.
I get sick of my own voice. All right, so we'll play this and then we'll come back. And then the next thing we'll play after this is Saltwood's Lazy Heart.
If I were brave enough, if I were strong enough, if I were wild enough, I might break away. If I were wild, if I were free enough, if I were fierce enough, I might find if I was sure enough, if I were bold enough, if I were brave enough, I might break away. But this lazy heart of mine has made its bed, and this weary heart of mine is ready to rest its head. Oh, this lazy heart of mine has made its bed, and this weary heart of mine is ready to rest its head.
And that was Saltwood. With Lazy Heart and Lindsay Depler out front there. Beautiful song, Lindsay.
Oh, thank you so
beautiful,
much.
Beautiful, honest song. I love it. Also, apparently, Peter Geekie's favourite song. You're the best musician ever to come out of Apollo Bay, apparently.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go. And I wouldn't go that far.
And one very small thing, Russell Smith agrees that it was Cesar Romero that was the Joker in the Batman series. There you go. Thanks, Russ, for that. Now, Stephen, you have a question for...
Well, Lindsay, what's this I hear about? What would you like to tell us about your new directions and a Great Ocean Road tour? What's that about?
Yeah, that's something I'm super excited about, and it's a little project that's pretty close to my heart, you know, coming from Apollo Bay. And also, you know, it's pretty telling, I suppose, the name Saltwood was derivative of Apollo Bay. And this is where we played our first gig. Before we were Saltwood.
Oh, really?
At the Naughty Girls open mic. It originally started out as a birthday present for my sister, who demanded that I sing a song about her in public for her birthday present, and dragged Curtis, the guitarist, down there, Harry and Fabian, and played a couple of tunes, and we all enjoyed it so much we thought we'd keep doing it.
So when will this be? When do we have to watch out for you, Lindsay?
Well, definitely like us on Facebook to stay up to date, because we haven't got any set dates yet. But at the moment we're aiming for January. So hopefully we'll do a couple of sets all down the Great Ocean Road. So I'd love to do something particularly Torquay, or the Wye River pub, Lawn. My little dream at the moment is to finish off in Apollo Bay with the shooting of a film clip, so that it features a lot of the locals. Right.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
What do you call that? What do you classify yourself as, Lindsay? The band? Like, I don't like to use the word genre, because Phil Langdon beats me up for it all the time. but I do, because I think you've got to tell people. It's like saying, here's some food. I won't tell you what it is. So you sort of have to categorize stuff sometimes. Because it's very jazzy.
The EP especially is a bit more jazzy than the direction, like you said, you know, moving in a bit more of a new direction. We have had, because we all studied jazz at VCA, it's a very tricky thing to suddenly tell jazz musicians not to play jazz. So it is very jazz influenced pop folk, I suppose. Yeah. That's my main influence in the songwriting. And I suppose in moving in that new direction, we would like to become more of that pop folk band and be a bit more relatable for our audiences. And that's something where our keyboard player, Harry, has stepped up and said that he'd really like to help. So we've actually got a new tune at the moment that's not on the EP that we wrote together. And that was a really fun project, because I kind of came in with what was essentially a jazz piece, and Harry was really good at throwing his arms up and going, no, pump the brakes. We need to water this down a little bit. And I think that's what he's great at. And we did have that discussion that we I suppose, would start collaborating a bit more. And he was wonderful. He said, if you're going to let me collaborate on that higher level with you, you're going to have to be prepared to argue with me because I'll get pushy. Good on you. And I said, oh, okay, yeah, no, that's fine. That's great. Let's argue. And then he jumped straight in the deep end and went, so how do we feel about the name of Saltwood? So, yeah, he jumped right in. So, no, it's good. It's so encouraging to know that you're working with people who are passionate about the project.
And it's something to look forward to when you do your Great Ocean Road tour.
Absolutely, yeah. It's going to be amazing. I'm very excited, yeah.
Great.
Look, I think you've got to aim. If you want to be a working musician, you've got to aim at as big an audience as you can. You can be jazz musicians, but the audience is smaller unless you certainly there's not a big jazz audience, say, in small country towns.
And I'm certainly not suggesting that we would get rid of the jazz influences altogether. At the moment it is very, like with the EP kind of demonstrates, there is a big chunk of it really is a jazz band and makes you think of that, especially with the trumpet aesthetic and that kind of stuff. But we would like to keep those influences but make sure we are a folk pop band that are influenced by jazz and not controlled by it.
Yeah. No, but that influence, as you say, it would be crazy to remove it because it is what the band is.
Absolutely. It's what makes it.
I'm going to invent a new genre and it's going to be called quality pop. And it's pop music that isn't, say, Kylie Minogue and that electronic pop. It's using interesting instruments like the jazz sort of influences in your music and then bringing them into a sort of a pop style. I think I'm going to call it quality pop. And so I hope you guys become a successful quality pop band.
Oh, great.
But you look at bands like the Cat Empire and they've kept those elements in there. Mm-hmm. You know, horn, well, I guess they are a fairly heavily horn section band, but, you know, they've started off with those things and then brought them more into the mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've grown our musical landscape.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's a lot to be said for bands like Cat Empire that take an influence that is traditionally an idiom outside of what is considered to be popular music and bring it in and make it more relatable. And that can often be a launching pad for the listener to go, wow, I really do like jazz. And, you know, and then they might go and pick up another album and find this whole other thing. So there's a lot to be said for bands that do that.
Well, it's young bands like yours, Lindsay, that do it because older bands, get pigeonholed and stuck in their ways and they generally don't want to change what's a successful formula a lot of times, I think. But you get young bands like sort of Sasquatch and Clary Brown and those guys and they push that boundary and then the listeners have to go, well, I need to know more about this music. If I'm liking this and I want to like more of it, I'm going to need to find out more about it. So young bands tend to do that just simply because they don't have the boundaries already set.
And I should say here as well, just to give a good old plug for Melbourne music when you were talking about, you know, new quality pop.
Yeah.
I really can't recommend enough just getting out in Melbourne and seeing some of the new contemporary bands that are out at the moment. We are spoilt for choice when it comes to this these new alternative pop, not quite sure which genre they pop into, and there's some wonderful, wonderful stuff out there.
You're too young to know. I think you're too young to know this, but you might because you're a musician. When me and Brian and Steve and possibly and Tony, when we were younger, everybody bought albums and CDs and went and saw bands occasionally. And then the internet came about and everybody started buying music off the internet and bands went, oh, God, our life is over. And then they needed to reinvent themselves as live bands. So all of a sudden we've got live music, you know, plethora of live music that we never had before because bands can only make so much money from CDs but can make more money from going out live. So this fantastic live scene we've got now has come about simply because the internet almost killed music off until people decided, oh, no, there's a way around it, as there always is. So from a listener's point of view and a music lover's point of view, the internet, iTunes was a wonderful thing. It killed off record sales in a way that generated live music.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say that with the expansion of availability with all different kinds of music, whether it be downloads or iTunes or everything, it's not really, like it is to an extent, but it's not really the musicians that suffered so much. For us, it's actually a lot easier to get our music out there. Yeah. It's a lot more competitive now, yes. Absolutely. And you do need to go out there and get those live audiences and make those real connections. But for the most part, it's the fat cats that suffered, really.
Yeah.
It's those big industries that really monopolised what was popular music. That's what suffered. And I think that's a good thing.
Not a bad thing.
Yeah, not a bad thing. Anyway.
So you don't think the young musicians, because I've heard a few older musicians, because they established themselves at a time when I think they thought they would probably just live out their days on record sales.
Mm.
And all of a sudden their record sales was gone. And so they realised they'd have to go back out on the road and tour. And I think a few of the older bands were a bit cut about that originally, but then realised, oh, well, you know, we know how to do it and we can make reasonable money from it, so all we've got to do is do it. But you don't think younger musicians are burdened by that same feeling that, oh, we've just had this taken away from us?
I think it's a tricky time because that same path that you knew you had to follow a few few decades ago, there was a path, you know, you sold your records, you got your royalties, and it's a far more varied landscape than that.
Yes.
Now there is no set path as to, oh, you get a record deal, you sell this many records, you collect royalties for this many years. That exists nowadays, but certainly not to the same extent. Now there are people out there in large number of bands, or you become session musicians, or and you have your little love projects on the side, and there's just so many different ways that you can make it work, and it does make it more competitive, absolutely.
If you're going to be a young band and you're going to focus on one thing, you're going to say, right, this is the project and it's going to be successful, there'd be very few bands that are going to come out at the end of that with that goal still intact, surely.
Mm, yeah, no, it's hard, definitely. It's a challenging industry, absolutely.
I just wanted to also ask you a question about the lyrical content of that song. It's a beautiful song and it's really honest and really raw, that last one that we heard, Lazy Heart. How hard is it to write a song knowing that it's so much of your person, it's so much of you on the line, and how much do you pull back and put in and at the last minute just add some lyrics going, oh, damn it, you know, I might as well be damned for it as not.
It's funny you should ask that, because I spend a lot of my time songwriting trying to pull back and go, oh, that's a bit personal, that's a bit much. And then I almost find it a bit disappointing where after a gig someone will come up and go, oh, wow, that was just so personal, you know, that's really brave to be so honest in front of such a crowd. And I thought, oh, man, I thought I was being such a good liar. But no, it is really hard, because if you're not honest, then you become a cliche and no one wants to hear that. But at the same time, if you're too honest, you can cross that line and become baggage. So rather than creating something that someone's going to relate to and feel connected with, they actually just feel like you're dumping your troubles on them a little bit too much. So you've got to walk that line, and that's hard.
Look, let's play another song from the album and come back just quickly and wrap it up. We've got another track, Night Air. Just tell us, were you the writer of this song?
Yes, yeah, I wrote this quite a while ago. This is my mum's favourite. Yeah, absolutely. She's very proud of the little greenie she's created.
Hello, Lisa.
But this song I wrote after watching footage of the drought break in Lake Eyre, and I just thought it was really moving, and I just wanted to write something simple and lovely, and that's, yeah.
Beautiful. Let's listen to it, shall we? Let's listen to Saltwood with Night Air.
I heard a rumor that you were headed home.
And that was Lindsay Depler out front of Saltwood. Remind us what that song was about again, Lindsay.
That was Night Air, and that was about the drought breaking over Lake Eyre. Just some footage I saw one time and just was quite moved by it and thought I'd like to write something about it.
Beautiful song. Really, really pretty. And you'll be coming down the Ocean Road, hopefully, over like about Christmas time?
Yeah, about January.
Doing a few gigs down the Ocean Road?
Yeah.
So that will be one for people to watch out for. And, of course, you'll let us know here at ABR what you're doing so we can promote that.
Absolutely.
Lovely. Now, we've only got 5 minutes left because Brian needs to get home for lunch. That's what sort of time frame we have here. Mm. How you've just started a law degree, Lindsay, or into how far into it?
Oh, it's tricky to say now because I'm juggling a few things, so I tend to go from part-time to full-time down to anything, but I think I roughly have about just over a year to go until I'm finished,
That's not long. You're on the downhill stretch now. Yeah. That's wonderful. And as you said, music will continue to be your passion, I guess.
Mm.
Is it going to be possible, could you see an avenue for you to keep combining those two things, law and music?
Yeah, I think so. I come up with regular little pipe dreams as to how I'm going to make it happen.
Okay, yeah.
My favourite one at the moment is to somehow create some little pro bono firm where we actually do represent smaller musicians trying to navigate that field that we were just discussing before. And, you know, you hear a lot of people who get stuck in rotten contracts and all that kind of thing. So it'd be nice to be able to offer a service like that. Still working on how you would ever make a living out of something like that, but don't worry, it'll happen.
We all are, don't worry. We all are. Now, Stephen, have you got any more things to say about, just before we leave this conversation, or before we leave, the council elections coming up? We'll just swing back to that for a moment.
Okay, now you've gone from creative and great to listen to dry stuff again.
True, but I thought Lindsay would want to be in on this.
Yeah.
Since I think that with a musical law career, I think politics is in the offing as well, myself. I think she needs to keep that thought.
And we could do with some councillors that don't have grey hair.
Well, that's true. That's true. You'll get grey hair, though. Would you be able to do this from Apollo Bay, Lindsay, or do you need to be in somewhere like Melbourne to further this career, or could you do it from a smaller place in this day and age?
I think you could definitely, with the technology that's available, do it down here. Yeah, no worries. The live gigs, you'd be doing a fair bit of driving up to the city and that kind of thing, but as far as collaborating, recording, all those kinds of things, there's no real reason that you can't be doing that here.
Online almost.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as we were just discussing before offline, like all of that EP was recorded between the lounge room and a bedroom. There was no studio involved, just some really talented people, particularly Fabian Acuna, like, worked his heart out on that one. And it's not a question of what facilities you have available to you or where you are anymore, which I think is wonderful.
Yeah. Mm. So you actually, I'll just touch on that again because that is really interesting. You recorded that album with some equipment that you got together yourself, and you did it in a lounge room and a bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not bad. With all of those musicians.
Yes. We've got a couple of photos on our Instagram of four of them just cramped in a corner around a keyboard. But, yeah, it was kind of, if we wanted the bigger sound, like the vocals in Night Air and that kind of stuff, we'd go into the lounge room, or if we just needed the space. And then what's funny about your favourite, Lazy Heart, is that was mostly recorded. That's with piano and vocals in the bedroom. And we wanted to use a real piano. We didn't want to use the DI keys. Okay. And we were using Harry's piano, and the pedals squeak, and you can hear them squeaking throughout the tune. And at the end of it as well, you can hear a dog barking next door. And we couldn't get that out either. And then Fabian came in and overdubbed the strings and the horns afterwards. Yeah.
Really? That's it. That is glorious, isn't it? Hey, you, we can't do that, Stephen.
Well, that'll sound like part of the creative part of the song. And,
oh,
yeah. And if you didn't tell us, we would have all thought, oh, what a great
time. Oh, look, they've put a recording of a barking dog in. How creative.
I'm glad you've told me. I'm going to be listening for that now. And I do love when bands are real enough to leave that stuff in there.
Mm.
There's a Jackson Browne song recorded on a bus. And in the recording, you can hear the bus's gears changing.
Mm.
And I always thought, for a long time, I thought that was just a noise that they'd put in there because the song's quite pacey and you think that it's about kind of moving from town to town. And I assumed that they'd dubbed that in there. And at the time, I thought, wow, what a great sound effect to put into a song back in those days. And then it wasn't until fairly recently I read up about the album and realised it was recorded on a bus and that was actually the gears changing in the bus. And the bus and the there's a line in it saying we're on the Silver Eagle going from this town to this town, and that is the Silver Eagle changing gears. And I just think, what a brilliant song.
Mm.
What an absolutely incredible song. And there's the bus changing gears. So I think as a music lover, it's ideal if fans leave that stuff in there because it's really personal.
Absolutely. Mm. And recording at home is fun too. Like you do some funny things, like doing the vocal things, the vocal parts with Night Air. You might have noticed Harry in the background who does that, whoa, whoa. He does like a big kind of shout. Because we were kind of trying to record it all as one, we couldn't really mix people up and down, and he was a lot louder than everyone else. So we just said, okay, well, we're going to stand over here and Harry, you go stand in the corner and sing. it's good fun.
Yeah, it must be a lot of fun recording, especially with a group of people. Do you work much on your own, Lindsay? Do you do much, I guess, your songwrite on your own?
I write on my own, generally. I can't stand writing when there's people listening to me.
Fair enough.
No, Saltwood is my my outlet at the moment. It takes up too much of my time, really, to be much else,
Well done, and it sounds like you're going to be a busy girl for at least another year. I hope you're getting enough time to relax.
Well, I'm down here for the week, and that's always really grounding and nice, so it's really good to be back.
It must be nice to come. My daughter's at university. She gets to come back here for a week or two, and I look at how stressed she is the day she gets back, and I look at how much more relaxed she is the sort of 3 or 4 days after she's been here and goes back to Melbourne again.
Yeah,
and it must be nice to come to Apollo Bay to relax.
It is, yeah. It's really funny. The first couple of days you get down, you get this weird melancholy feeling like, oh, this is where I was supposed to have been the whole time. And, you know, you've got that other type of stress sets in, and then, 3 days in, you're fine. You've slowed down. Yep. It's good.
You'd also be a bit pacey about getting back to your sort of life down there too after a few days though, wouldn't you? You'd be like, oh, I'm keen to get onto this and get onto that.
Yeah, I'm pretty keen to get back and keep writing. I've got a couple ideas that I want to work on. But as far as going back to uni and work, I could stay down here a couple more days. Yeah.
Well, good luck with the band, Lindsay, and good luck. And I hope that around Christmas we do have some dates to announce for a tour of Saltwood. I really do hope. I'll play on the way out. I'll play you. I talked about Daisy Chapman before and the song Lazy Heart. When I first heard it, I thought, oh, well, I wonder if Lindsay knows Daisy Chapman, because the same feeling I got from Lazy Heart, I get from her music. It just really brings you into the song immediately.
Mm.
You just come into the song and feel like you're standing beside the songwriter almost. So I got the same feeling from yours as I do from her. So well done for that. But I'll say, I better wrap it up and say goodbye to you. So thank you for coming in.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks to Brian Dwyer for organising for you to come in. He's the granddaddy of this studio, you know, Lindsay. I call him the granddaddy of ABR. Thanks to Tony Webber for coming in. Thanks for Stephen Hart for coming in. I'm sorry you didn't get to play your fourth song, Stephen.
All right. Don't Look Down. It was a song from the Thelma and Louise soundtrack.
Oh, right. I'll find out who it is. I'll play it next week. If you're able to listen next Saturday morning, I'll definitely play it. But I wanted to go out with this one just to introduce you, because you don't know Daisy Chapman. Mm. And I'll say goodbye to Brian, and thank you to Bob Telford for his roundup. And I hope everybody enjoyed chatting to Stephen Hart this morning, Tony Webber, and Lindsay Deppler. Thanks for coming in, Linz.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Thanks,
Anton. Stephen.
See ya. And see you all next Saturday morning for Saturday at the Bay.